Jesus is the rock. He is the rock. He is our refuge in our rock. And that's what I'd like to talk to you today about. I preached Psalm 46 from a different perspective once before, but today, because of everything that's going on, I want to try to hone in on something I believe is very, very important. In this country, we have homes. Our homes, I would imagine most every one of us has locks on our doors. And we feel safe behind those locks. Sadly, though, that's only an illusion. You know, it's a fantasy. Because think about this. You lock your keys in your car. And many of us have done that. And you get on the phone and you call 911 or you call the local police. In the old days, anyway, they roll up in a few minutes, and within a few seconds, that little thing goes in the window, and your keys are out of the car. So that lock's not going to protect you. And when you think about your lock on your home, most homes can be broken, the lock, within a matter of like a second with a simple tool called a pipe wrench. And I know that's a fact. And when we think about our families and our children and our livelihoods and how we want to protect them and in war-torn countries where bombs are going off and there are people that are understanding greater than any of us that building that they're in, that home, that structure isn't really protecting them, because in a flash of an eye, that becomes rubble. And the people who were in that building perish. They understand that as a group. That when the enemy comes, the walls, they can fall. You know, the wall, they're not enough because of the destructive force of the enemy. And all of us, at some point in time in our lives, experience a time when we feel as though these forces out there, whether they're physical or spiritual, that they're against us and they're too great, and they cause us to shudder and shake. And there's going to be a time in everyone's life, everyone, there's going to be a time when everything that you hold dear to, everything that you believe is your strength, or the things that protect you, a time when your foundation is no longer firm, where when everything that you believed, it gets tested by some outside force to the max. A time when everything that you thought was strong becomes weak. A time when everything that you believed that was structured and safe, you will feel vulnerable. You will feel unprotected. A time when you will feel as though there is no longer hope. When you feel alone. When you feel that there's no one on your side. No one powerful enough who can help you in your struggle. The 46th Psalm that was read in your hearing moments ago was penned just after such a time. It was penned after the people of Judah had lost all hope. It was written after, and I emphasize that word after that season of testing. It was a time when God's people weren't sure they were going to be alive the very next day. A time when everything was wrong. Everything was upside down in their lives. To them, evil seemed to have won the battle against the good. Everything that they thought of, everything they kept, everything that they believed gave them the peace and the comfort and the safety, things that kept them alive, was no more. Their whole world, as they knew it, was coming to an end in their minds and hearts. This was a time that the nations of Judah, the people of God, would, by the power of God, come to an understanding that God is greater. And the bottom line is, they had to learn that there's a time when the wall is not enough. Think about that now. And we're going back here in time. We understand what happened in Judah. We will better understand the heart of the psalmist if we can understand that. We first understand that Psalm 46 is a post-thought of the people of Judah. It was penned by the psalmist through inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the aftermath of the Lord's intervention. It was a time of great victory against the enemy of the people, the Assyrian king and his army, Sennacherib. And to understand the depth and the power of the words that are penned there, we want to go back in our Bibles just for a moment. We want to turn to 2 Kings, rather, chapter 18. Let's look here at 2 Kings chapter 18. And we understand this. It's so important. You know, God's people believed at this time that death was a certainty. It was coming. There was nothing they could do about it. When the sun rose, they believed that they were going to be attacked and overcome. And they believed that Sennacherib and his armies were going to just destroy everything. Think of this. Imagine how they felt. Imagine that. And then realize that there's going to come a time in everybody's life when your world is shaken. When your foundation quakes and you feel helpless and afraid. And you feel like there's just nothing you can do. And as we look at 2 Kings, just glancing through chapter 18 and 19, if we learn rightly from this lesson, we must conclude when we can't, God can. You got that? When we can't, God can. We have to learn that there is no power in heaven or on earth that can overcome the mighty and powerful hand of our God. We have to learn that we can remain faithful in times of trouble if we just turn and trust God. 2 Kings chapter 18. Now listen, the Assyrian army, at this time, they are a world power. They are unbeatable. They're conquering nation after nation after nation. And there's only one nation left, and believe it or not, that was Egypt. They're on their way to Egypt. But there's this little place called Jerusalem that's between Egypt and them. Little Jerusalem. And look at verse 13 of chapter 8. It says, "And in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them." Sennacherib's on a roll. There isn't anybody to stop him. And you think about this, and there was something found in the earth. It was something that was called an annal, and it was basically something that had writing, all cuneiform writing, all the way around it. And this is something that Sennacherib himself put together. And on that cuneiform, Sennacherib himself, look what he said. Listen to what he said here. He says, and he wrote Hezekiah of the country of the Jews who had not submitted to my yoke, 46 strong cities of his, fortresses and small cities of their neighborhood, which were without number, I approached and I took. This is who we're talking about. This is who the people of Judah and Jerusalem are out that are behind those walls of Jerusalem. They're afraid. They're terrified because this is the guy. This is the guy. The powerful Assyrian king, undefeated. And now the full power of his army, it's going to come down on them. Imagine how the citizens must have felt at this time. You know, they go up on the wall as this army amasses 100 or 200,000, give or take. They're amassed around this wall, and they're looking, and they see these soldiers ready for battle. They know that they've beaten every nation around them. Every wall came down, some mightier than Jerusalem, and they have fallen to defeat every single one. Think about it. Imagine what they would have been feeling in their minds and in their hearts. That, you know, they're looking at this thinking, we're already defeated. We are without hope. Despair has overtaken them. And they're going to die. Their world is shaken. 46 Jewish nations have fallen before them. Sennacherib overpowered them with his mighty army. And we're going to be next. And we can't escape it. There's nothing we can do. There's no place we can go. There's no place we can hide. And as the sun sets and the armies gather, so does the hopelessness of those people behind that wall. You know, they're thinking, our children are going to die. Our loved ones, our husbands, our wives, they're going to die. They're just going to crash through that wall. They're going to come into our homes, and they're going to destroy everything that we are and everything we had. It's inevitable. I want you to look over at 2 Kings now, the next chapter, verse 19. Look at 2 Kings 19 at verse 3. In fact, I have that on the screen. Look in your Bibles. I like it when I hear them pages turning. 2 Kings 19 and at verse 3. Listen to these words. Thus says Hezekiah. He says, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. You imagine that? The Assyrians are coming, and we're without strength. We have nothing to match their weapons. We have few people to match their massive army. They're speaking blasphemies against God, and we cannot help ourselves, and we can't defend God. Think about that. Now stay with me here for a second. And we realize that at this point in time, it just the story's going to make a turn. There's going to be a turn now. There isn't 1 ounce of hope. There's not 1 ounce of hope. Their whole world is crashing down around them. And God intercedes. God steps in. And God hears the prayer of Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. It tells how Hezekiah has received this letter. And Hezekiah, he immediately goes to the house of the Lord. And he prays to God. And God heard. Verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, I have heard. And when you go through the rest of that chapter there, you're going to read things that just boggle the mind. In fact, we want to listen. God heard. The word of the Lord is spoken to Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32 through 34. You want to look at that? Verse 32 through 34. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the servant David's sake. That's what he told him. Think about that. Think about that for a second. And then the morning comes. Early in the morning, the sun is rising up. And what happens? What happens? What did they see? You know, they all got up. They're probably still awake all night, worrying. But in the morning, they don't hear a sound. They don't hear the marching feet of the soldiers. They don't hear the weapons being rolled up. They don't hear anything. And so they're curious. They climb up on the wall. And what do they see? Turn with me to verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. God stepped in. God was their refuge and strength. God made this possible. It was God who took out those 185,000 soldiers. Do you see it? Do you see what's going on? Do you get this picture right? Then when they thought that a hope was all gone, God stepped in. God gave them the victory. And now listen, you know, one more time. In these times, there is just one truth. In the times of trouble, there's one truth. In the times of worry, there's one truth. When you're anxious about things, there's one truth. When you're facing real hardships, when your world shakes and your foundation begins to crumble, there is one truth. And we need to get this in our head. We need to drill this into our heads. Psalm 46, verse 1. Turn there with me. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. And I'm going to put this up on the screen, and just in case you don't have a Bible, and all those, there's Bibles in front of you on the Psalm 46, verse 1. The first six words that you see. You see them? I want you all, you know, this may be on you. I want everybody to read with me right now. Those six words. God is our refuge and strength. Read that out loud. Let me hear you. God is our refuge and strength. One more time. God is our refuge and strength. And listen to me. When you read those words, understand this. When there is nothing left but God, God is more than enough. Because God is our refuge and our strength. Sometimes, and we don't always understand, sometimes the Lord allows us to be stripped of our strength. The thorn in the side. All the troubles of life. That we literally come to our knees, and at that time God steps in. And God says, I am here. God, I am the refuge and strength. That's who I am. You listen to me. Misery will come. Hopelessness will overtake many, and your strength will fail. But if you remember, if you believe, God is your refuge and strength, nothing else will matter. Listen, if you believe that your job is your refuge and strength, you're wrong. God is your refuge and strength. If you believe that your bank account is your refuge and strength, you're wrong, because God is your refuge and strength. If you believe that your spouse is your refuge and strength, you're wrong, because God is your refuge and strength. If you believe your doctor is your refuge and strength, you're wrong. God is your refuge and strength. And think about this. When life gets bad, your world falls apart, when trouble comes, when the unknown seems to be tearing at your doorstep of faith, then listen, God is your refuge and strength, and that's the one thing you need to remember. That's exactly what Satan wants you to forget. That devil doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to accept this or live by this. That devil wants you to just forget all about that. Again, when there's nothing left, but God, God is enough. We think God, He is our refuge and our strength. Listen, God, what makes God our refuge and strength? What makes Him our refuge and strength? Well, the first thing is the first word in that statement, God. When you look at that word, you see the word G-O-D, but in the original Hebrew language, that word is Elohim. It's one of the many names of God. But this is the word that is used to describe a certain characteristic of God, and it's used in Genesis chapter 1 and at verse 1 where we read, "In the beginning, God." And what are we going to hear now? God is powerful. He can do anything, and that's what Elohim represents. Elohim describes the character of God, that He is all-powerful. He is the mighty God. And by His hand, nations have fallen. God, Elohim. Psalm 91 in verse 1, you see it up there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That's God. That's why He's our refuge and strength, because He's able. The Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's what that is. It's a masculine plural noun. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is all powerful. God is almighty. And that's why God is the only one that can be our refuge and our strength. The Most High God. And He's been that way since the creation, all through the history of man. God has been that way. Israel, they were caught between the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies, and God opened that sea up, and God became their refuge and strength. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into the fiery furnace, and God was their refuge and strength. David fought against Goliath, and the victory was there because God was his refuge, his strength. Paul, God was his refuge and strength. Peter, God was his refuge and strength. Stephen, the martyr, God was his refuge and strength, and God is your refuge and strength, and you better get that in here and in here. God is your refuge and strength. The other reason is that other word there that you see. He's the refuge. He's our refuge. God is our refuge. What does refuge mean? It means a place of safety. It means a place of shelter. A place where you feel protected. Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 4, Isaiah writes, "For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy. In his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against a wall." He has no power against God. And what that means, distress, storms, poor in spirit, life comes you like a blast, but it just hits that wall of God's refuge and just falls away. God is our refuge. By Him we have shelter. By Him we can rest our weary souls. And the scripture says, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, God. For you have been a shelter for me, God. A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in you forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. God is our refuge. And another reason why God is the only one, and not only because he's mighty and powerful, not only because he provides in himself a place for us to have shelter, peace, and rest, God is also our strength. God is our refuge and strength. Whenever there is a time when you stand outside of the refuge, there is God, his strength. And what do I mean by that? You can't cower down in your house all day long and be afraid to come out into the world. You have to go out sometime. And when you go out in the world, you're going to run into things that are troublesome and trials. And when you're out there in the world, you're outside of that little safety thing, but God is your strength. God enables you to fight the good fight, as Paul put it. And when that fight comes, God is the one that will be your strength. He's the one that wins. God is your strength. God is almighty. God is a place of refuge. God is our strength. But let's look at the end of verse 1. The end of verse 1. Another very powerful point. God is always present. He says a very present help in trouble. No matter where you are, God is there. He is there. He listens carefully. And listen to me. This has nothing to do with feelings. You know, even when you feel really good, you know God is there. But sometimes people feel really bad and they think God is not there. Listen, he's there. God doesn't leave you, right? He never does. Whatever the situation is, whatever the trouble is, God will be there. Hebrews 13:5. We know that, right? He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's who he is. That's who he is. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble. That's true. That's true. That's true. Look at verse 2. Therefore, we will what? Not fear. Why do we not fear? Well, we don't fear because God is almighty. He is our place of rest, a refuge, a place for us to stop and take a deep breath. And he is our strength. He's the almighty. That's why we will not fear. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What do we read there? If God is for us, who can be against us? Matthew 10 and 31. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God is there. He is with you and he is watching you, just like he knows every sparrow that falls to the ground and the number of hairs on your head. God is there. And you don't need to fear. You don't need to fear. Listen. Even though the earth be removed, he says. You see that? And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, there were two things in the ancient world that they believed could never be moved. They believed the earth could never be moved and the mountains could never be moved. And so what's the psalmist saying here? What is he saying? You know, fear is a very powerful thing. It can be used for good or for evil. And when we fear for the wrong reasons, then we're forgetting that God is there. that he's an ever-present help. And God is there. Even if something so powerful that it could move the earth, God's there. If something is so powerful that it could raise up a mountain and cast it into the sea, God is there. What do we fear? What is it that we fear? Listen, do we fear the virus? I mean, serious. Do we fear the virus? Do we fear the things that are in the future, in the past? Are we fearing things that are around us? Do we fear death? But if God is our refuge and our strength, we don't have to fear anything. And so what about fear? You know, people are deceived about fear. So many people, you'll hear people say, I'm controlled by my fear. And listen, that's simply not a true statement. People say, I'm controlled by society. That's not a true statement. People say, I'm controlled by my anxieties. That's not a true statement. These are not true statements. If you're controlled by fear, it isn't the fear that controls you. Now listen. If you're being controlled by fear, anxiety, or any of those other things, it isn't the fear, the anxiety, society, anything that controls you. It is your choice to make and let that fear control you. You can choose to accept God as our refuge and strength, a very present help, or you can choose to fear. If you're controlled by fear, let God be your refuge and strength. Because it's not the fear that controls you. It's your choice that you made to allow that fear to work. Does society control you? Only if you let it. If you choose to let it. Does anxiety control you? If you choose to let it. Does fear control you? If you choose to let it. We're controlled by our choices. Now listen. Choose prayer over fear. Choose God over humanity. Choose faith over uncertainty. You are in control of your choices. If God is your refuge and strength, you don't need to fear anything, anyone, anywhere, period, end. Go to Psalm 46 again, down to verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolation in the earth. Listen, God brought desolation and destruction against those Assyrian armies. Remember, 185,000, they all fell. They're all dead. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. What does he say there in verse 9? He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. That's what the Almighty does. As we start drawing all this together, we realize that He's the Almighty God, that He is the one who defeats army after army, nation after nation for His name's sake. He is all powerful. And what does He do? He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. And we're not talking about bombs and guns and armies and tanks and rockets and missiles. We're talking about wars now on a spiritual plane. We're talking about your fear. God can put an end to that war that you have with fear if you just accept Him as your refuge and strength. God can take worry right away from you if you accept Him, and He can beat that battle against anxiety. He can beat that battle against confusion. He can end the war that brings panic into your life and uncertainty, and from such battles that you feel like you can't win. When you go day to day in your life, even then, God is your refuge and strength, and God will fight for you. And you will win. And He will cease those inner wars. Those inner wars. One more point. And this lesson will be yours. Let's look at verse 10. Listen to verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. How do we make God our refuge and strength? How do we do that? How do we get this in not only in our head, but in our hearts so that it envelops us with the truth? Not just when you're in trouble, do you be still. Not just when you're fearful, should you be still. Every day, every time, you take time out, you be still and know who is your refuge and strength and why. You go back in the history and you look at all the mighty things God has done, all the victories He's brought forth, all the mighty nations He's defeated, and you take time and you be still. And you just think, God, listen, you just need to know who God is. God loves those who humble themselves. He loved Jesus, His Son. Jesus, His Son, knew the Father. Jesus, His Son, humbled Himself even to the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. One more little thing here. He says, be still and know that I am God. Go down to verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob? Do you remember what Jacob means? Jacob means the supplanter. That's somebody who wrongfully takes the place of another. It means one who deceives. That's Jacob. And I want you to put this together in your mind as we close this thought. Jacob, he wasn't the righteous, upright guy. None of us are. And if God... If Jacob can stand still and know that God is his God and God is the God of Jacob, then he's your God too. There's no one here that is so bad that God's not going to be your God. He's the God that will be exalted among the nations? No, He is exalted among the nations. He's the God that will be exalted in the earth? He is exalted in the earth. And the Lord of hosts is with us? That's God, our refuge and our strength. Just remember, God is our refuge and our strength. Turn to the Song of Invitation, song number 828. I love this number, 828. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to him, to them who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Jesus, the loving shepherd, is calling you right now. If you need to be baptized, to become a member of the church, to make God your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, today's the day. If you need to repent of sin, today's the day. Listen, make God your refuge and strength today as we come forward, as we stand, and as we sing.